Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Steelers Week, time for Senior Moments. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osier. Joe Fortunato's here as well. Time to get going. 2-2, first place in the division. Feels great, right? I mean, they're talking about, you know, tying the first quarter. But you start the second quarter with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that is not easy.
Well, this is where you wish you could have broken serve last
week.
That's it. And by breaking serve, I don't mean that they of course they should have beaten the Jets. But you would have been 2-0 on the road.
Right.
All the would have been, should have been, all that we get. But we've all been through NFL seasons before. There's no rule that you can't go have a good season just because you had a bad loss.
No.
They're 2-2.
Well, look, they're not going to be 14-2 either. I mean,
right.
There's going to be more of these.
It very much is out there in front of them.
Right.
And they're healthy. You know, big knock on wood. They are, except for A-Rob, which is a huge except. But beyond that, they've got all their guys. They do have a formula that they know can win. If they need to get up early. They need to play chaotic, buzzsaw defense, all those adjectives that I keep looking for, because that's what it's going to be. And the question is, can they stop the run and generate some sort of offense enough to get leads? Because this team scares you. It came from 10 down last week, but you're not going to come from 10 down with two fourth-quarter turnovers. That's not a consistent formula for rallying.
Right.
It's not going to happen very often that way. Can it either find a second dimension? Because I think this team's one-dimensional right now with what
there's no doubt
I just described. Can they find another dimension? Or can they get teams in that situation enough to thrive off of their one dimension?
All right, so let's stay with that thought. And the reason I began with it is because, you know, Steelers, right? There they are sitting at Heinz Field 3-1. They look like one of the best teams in the AFC. And you go in one-dimensional, well, I mean, the Steelers are just made for that. They're looking for that
yep.
kind of stuff. That's what they do. So, generally, you don't find help on the waiver wire. You don't find guys that can transform your offense sitting out there on the street when the season starts, right?
No, you don't.
Okay, but you got two guys, I think, that you need to get involved. One is James O'Shaughnessy, and we've been talking about him for weeks. The other is Jalen Strong. I don't know whether he goes this week or not.
Right.
But he's a big, tall receiver, you know. He's not A-Rob, or he wouldn't have been cut. But he can play that A-Rob role, which is get down the field and go for the jump ball, which they don't have right,
right
now. So those are two guys I'd like to see the ball go to.
Yeah, just and
because
Marquise Lee has ribs right now, so
yeah.
You don't know how much that's going to limit him. They've got to do something. They had 70 yards in the passing game to the receivers last week. It felt like five.
Yeah.
You know, you never got the idea that they were getting off on the outside, that they were creating worry for the Jets defenders to take them away from bunching up against Fournette. I get if you're listening to this podcast, if you're telling me that Jalen Strong and O'Shaughnessy are your answers, I don't want to know the question. You know, I mean, that's a scary thought. But they don't need those guys to be Pro Bowlers. They need them, as you said, to
catch
contribute.
A ball, convert a third down.
And I was about to say the exact same thing. From Jalen Strong, they're getting nothing on third down and big right now from the receivers. If he can, I thought when A-Rob got hurt, you were going to miss him two or three games, obviously, in a couple situations a game. He was good for two or three first down converting jump balls.
Right.
If Strong gets you one, that's better than none.
Right. Look, the Jaguars have converted 16 third downs in four games. 16.
Right.
They have 14 three and outs. So they're just as likely to go nowhere as they are to go anywhere.
And what's remarkable about that stat is they're 11th in the league in third downs, which means they've been good in other spots.
Right.
But that third down kills you.
You've got to be able to do something. So when I bring up those two guys, no, it's not that they're going to become 1,000-yard receivers or 10-touchdown guys, but just other options in the passing game, because it appears defenses know how to corral 11 and 88. How to take them out of the game.
Well,
and when you don't have A-Rob,
those guys aren't making it hard enough on defenses right
now. You're
probably
right.
You know, and a lot of people, I get, when you see Blake's numbers, 15 to 35 last week, 140 or whatever it was, you know, you're quick to say, oh, it's Blake. I don't know. On this one, he was under pressure a lot. I thought too quickly. And some of that's because you don't have to respect anything else.
Right.
So you bunch, you're playing Fournette, and then if he ain't getting the ball, you're going off the quarterback. And the separation on the receivers the other day, some of Blake's balls.
Yeah.
If you take away the and you looked around to see where it should have gone, if it had been more accurate, it probably gets batted down. So it's hard for me to put that one. It's hard for me to put that entire 15 to 35 all on Blake the other day.
Well, as much as we talk about stopping the run and being multidimensional, if you can't convert on third down, it's a moot point. Because that defense will spend way too much time on the field.
Yep.
They'll see 35 carries from Le'Veon Bell, and 35 carries from Le'Veon Bell means the Steelers are winning.
Yeah, I think this is a game that, and I'll probably sound like a broken record by the end of the year, this team got two turnovers the other day. It's creating takeaways. To me, this team has to get sack, fumble, interception early in games right now. Otherwise, you're depending on the offense to make big plays. Two explosives the other day, I think the number was.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, Baltimore aside, it doesn't feel like this is going to be a team that creates a lot of consistent explosives.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you are.
And you hate to say that because it's only 2 weeks removed from Baltimore when they did it all the entire game. But it doesn't feel like that. So that being said, is this a defense? Clearly it's going to struggle to stop the run. Is it a defense that can stop the run enough to get in enough passing situations to be the crazy pursuing defense that it plays best? To me, that's the question that will decide the season.
See, I think Le'Veon Bell could have a 100-yard game because he's that good, and the Jaguars could still play better, much better against the run.
No question.
Than they did last week. In fact, I expect them to really drill down on gap control because that's been the theme around here this week. And you've got guys who can run and chase and do that kind of stuff. So I expect them to be better against the run. Here's my question. Can you really put pressure on Ben Roethlisberger? Back when Jack Del Rio was the head coach here, he used to cite a statistic that after contact, Ben Roethlisberger was more accurate than when he just had time to stand in the pocket. In other words, that's his style of game. He likes getting hit. He's more accurate after you hit him. He's a big, strong guy. He's tough to bring down. Are you going to get him to the ground? Are you going to be able to have that sack, strip, fumble against a guy like Ben?
Here's their hope, and I'll say this bearing in mind that I've seen the Steelers once. I watched them against the Ravens the other day. I don't know that this Ben is really the Ben you're talking about. He's 35. When you discuss the Steelers with the Pittsburgh media right now, which is, I'm referencing Ed Bichette, who's been doing it forever, said there's not questions about Ben, but he hasn't played the first 4 weeks like you expect Ben to be. And if you look at his deep numbers, not as accurate passing, not as productive. So in answer to your question, I don't know that this Ben Roethlisberger is as immune to pressure, which there was a time he was absolutely that, as perhaps the old Ben. So if there's a ray of light about this game, if you can get pressure on this team, it has not functioned in the passing game as well. If you can shut down the run, the passing game feels more vulnerable than it should based on what you thought this Steelers team was going to be.
Well, we haven't seen the Steelers a whole lot around here in recent years, so I'll be interested to see exactly where he's at. But, I mean, he was always a guy that you just couldn't fluster.
Right.
You couldn't make him do stupid things.
Well, it's funny. This Steelers team is actually more of a defense team right now than it has been an offensive team. Now, we're only four games in. You would think, given the talent level on offense, that eventually that statistic will write itself and this will be an offensive juggernaut, because it has been. But right now it's got 15 sacks. It's gotten rich on some okay opponents. But the thought is if you can pressure Roethlisberger, perhaps this offense is not playing well right now enough to get away from you.
All right. Well,
that's your hope.
People can tell that you are a little bit under the weather. So one more thought and let's get you out of here. All right? I can
come up with a thought.
I could see where the Jaguars could go and lose this game, then have winnable games, right, against the Rams and the Colts, and finish the first seven games before their bye week 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they come home 2-3, there's an opportunity then for still to be right in the thick of the race when we get to the beginning of November, which if I had said to you in August, when this team didn't look very good in the preseason, you would have taken it all day long.
Well, it feels like a team that, I don't know if realistically, if somebody in the AFC South gets hot, I don't know if this is going to be the team that gets hot. Meaning, I don't know if you're going to reel off and all of a sudden be a 12-4 team with this team. It's hard to picture 10 out of...
Not unless the defense is scoring every week.
Right. It's hard to picture 10 out of 12 wins
right.
for this team right now, the way the offense is playing. But if this is a season where everybody sort of chugs along in the South, beats each other, stumbles a little bit, and you're a 9-7, 10-6, then it's a team that can be in it the rest of the year.
Well, look, you've got a quarterback in Tennessee who has a hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how many weeks he'll be down now, but that could linger all season. You've got a rookie quarterback in Houston, and you have nothing necessarily, unless Andrew Luck is back at the turn of November,
right.
and they're still involved in this thing. So it strikes me, even though I don't think this is the best team in the division, it strikes me that it's going to be that kind of a year where if you can just hang around until the middle part of November and you're still in it, we could have some fun in December.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for here, and three home games in December.
As we say that, I think the first thing people are going to think when you say that is, yeah, but they had to beat the Jets to do that, Brian. But the reality is you don't. Not beating the Jets means you've got to come back and get one that you didn't expect.
Like Sundays in Pittsburgh.
But there are games like that that can be done. And with this defense, with Jalen Ramsey and with this pass rush, if this was last year going up to Pittsburgh, I wouldn't have given him a chance. Now they've got a thing that you know is a game-changing thing. Their pass rush and their secondary being aggressive, and we've seen, that can dominate a game. Can they get to the situation where that's in play, I think is the key. But at least you've got something, you've got a home run guy batting fourth if you can get to him in the lineup.
All right. Well, look, sunny and 80 on Sunday, so at least you're not going up there to exacerbate your cold.
I hope so, yeah. I'm sure this will set in for weeks. They usually do.
Because it's fluorescent and 60 in this building right now.
And I'm sure it'll get cold.
John Osher, thanks so much.
Hope you All right, Brian. Thanks, bud.
Say goodnight to Joe Fortunato, and thanks for joining us in this week's Senior Moments.